Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, which is a very familiar scripture to most of us. And the topic, if I must take one, is intentional. Intentional. That means to be deliberate, thoughtful, conscious, making a conscious choice with a purpose. You shouldn't just make choices, but you should have a purpose behind every choice that you make. So it should be done with purpose. And we're going to come out of Jeremiah 29:11, and we're going to read this together. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Amen. We're going to just focus a little bit on the latter scripture where it says to call on. Call on who? Who are we calling on? We're calling on God. We're not calling on Buddha. We're not calling on President Trump. We're not calling on nobody but Jesus. He's the only one that can see us through. And he said to call on him and come to him and do what? Pray. Pray to him. Don't pray to nobody else because they can't answer you. Don't pray to nobody else because they can't do nothing about your situation. He's the only one that can answer your prayer. And he said, what will he do? He will listen. God says he listens. We don't pray in vain. His ears ain't closed. He ain't deaf. We pray to God because he will listen. Then he says, you will seek me. When you seek him, what you gonna do? You gonna find him. You remember when we were kids, we used to play hide and seek. Everybody always wants to be the one to do the seeking. But I like to stay here and go in places where they couldn't find me. But okay, God said, seek him and you will find him. He ain't hiding, people. We ain't got to find him. He's right here. Because what does he say in his word? He's always with us and he never leaves us nor forsakes us. When you seek me with all your heart, you can't come to him haphazardly, half-stepping. Can't half-step. I used to love to see people step, but I couldn't step. I used to love it. But okay, he said, come to him and seek him with all of your heart. That means with every fiber of your being, everything that you got. Why? Because he gave us everything that he had, his only begotten son. This particular scripture is written to the Israelites while they were in captivity, in exile. In exile means they were separated from their homeland, not just their homeland, but they were separated from God. And that's a bad place to be. That's a bad place to be. And their future felt uncertain, but God had good plans for them because what did it say? He knows the plans that he has for you, and they are to prosper you and not to bring you harm. So they needed to act by intentionally seeking God. Sometimes we got to be, like I said, sometimes you go to church and people, the praise team got to pump you and prime you. That shouldn't be, because God's been good to each and every one of us. Like Minister Johnson said, if you woke up, even if you got a pain in your back, just move what you can move. That's all right. If you can't do nothing but wave your hand, if you can't do nothing but say, thank you, Jesus, you do that because he's worthy. He is worthy. They needed to act intentionally seeking God, and they had to call on him through prayer. Prayer. And that's something that's big here at New Joy Fellowship. Our pastor challenged us about praying three times a day. I said, three times, Pastor? That's a lot. But then once you get into it, it gets easier and easier. It's not an easy task, but if you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, he will help you because that's what he is. He's our helper. And so by calling on him through prayer, God listens. And what I need to do is seek him with all my heart, every fiber in my body. People are living in captivity still today. The Israelites were in captivity back then. But some of us are living in captivity today. Although you may be in captivity to sin, you can have a complete spiritual freedom by doing what? Repenting and placing your faith and trust in Jesus. Place your trust in Jesus Christ, the one who hears and answers our prayers. And some of us are captive to fear. Fear has a lot of us. That's why the state of our nation's in the state that it's in, because of fear. They're fearing, I don't like to talk politics, but I'm just going to say it, because of the man that's sitting in the White House. They are too afraid to say what needs to be done. They are too afraid to buck his system. So they live in fear. These fears range from our economy. Look at our economy right now. Gas is almost $5. It's $6 in Illinois. And I go to the grocery store the other day. I had $60. What do you think I came out with? Some eggs, some bread, some butter, and some cheese, and a head of lettuce, and one tomato. I couldn't even get the whole thing of tomatoes. But that was $60. I have no meat. I think I'm going to become a vegetarian. I'm a join minister God. But and then some of us are afraid. We're in fear of our judicial system, the political system, the law enforcement system, because of the injustices that are done to us, especially us as Black people. We have so much that is being done to us that is not right. They're trying to take away our right to vote. They're trying to take away our constitutional rights. So people are living in fear. But I admonish you to remember the scripture, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, where Apostle Paul tells us to do what? Be anxious for what? Nothing. But by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God through prayer. There we go again, prayer. We intentionally prepare for all sorts of things. You all got up this morning. I got up this morning. I hope you did. I got up this morning prepared by taking a shower, brush my teeth, put on some deodorant, put my clothes on. But we got up and we did, and I did these things in preparation, and I did it intentionally because I didn't want to offend. I didn't want to come here and offend nobody. Pastor, I didn't want to offend nobody. But we prepare for weddings, baby showers, graduations, vacations, anniversaries, college. We even prepare for death by taking out life insurance. These commercials, I'm so sick of seeing these commercials on TV for folks over 50. You can get life insurance for $3 a day. You call them and it's $60 a month. And I'm like, more than $3 a day. Huh? But they talking about you can get life insurance to prepare for your final arrangement. And that's well and good. That is, I admonish you to do that because that way you don't leave a burden on your family members, your loved ones. But we prepare intentionally. We take the time and effort to prepare for these things. But then we're going to look at God. God was intentional with creation. If you guys read Genesis 1:1-31, everything had a purpose. He created the animals. He created the birds. He created man and woman. He created the earth. He created the stars, the flowers, the bees. He created everything with a purpose for us, for our pleasure, for us to be able to live and have a fruitful life. God created everything, but everything had a purpose. And Isaiah 43:7 tells us, everyone is called by my name, who I created. And why did he create us? For his glory, whom he formed and made. That's our purpose, is to glorify God. Then Adam and Eve sinned, but God intentionally offered a way to redeem us. He redeemed us back by allowing his son Jesus to die on Calvary's cross. And if we look at Daniel 1:8, we see he was resolved to align his plans with God's will, which took obedience, discipline, and total surrender. Did you hear me say total surrender? There we go. Total, not haphazardly. Daniel refused to defile his body with the king's food and wine. This showed commitment to his faith and to God. Daniel's actions demonstrated courage, integrity, even in the face of death. You know, I often look and read about some of the Bible characters that were facing death and the things that they went through. I can't honestly stand here and say I would have done that. I really can't. I would like to think I would, but I can't honestly say that I would, because death is a scary, not death in itself, but death by the way that they were killing people in biblical days. That's a scary thing. And in me and my mouth, I definitely wouldn't have made it, because I'd have said something out of pocket and I'd have just been gone. But Jesus is the best model of being intentional in prayer. If you want to read Luke 5:16, Jesus often, what did he do? Did he stay in the crowd? No, he withdrew. He went to a lonely place and he prayed. He prayed. And this was a habit for him. He did this all the time. It wasn't just when he was in trouble. It wasn't just when he needed something. He did this continually. So that's something we need to pick up on, is we need to be consistent in our prayer. Consistent in prayer. Not using Jesus like he's a genie in a bottle, because he's not. But he withdrew in a lonely place in prayer. So we need to withdraw just like Jesus did from the distractions of this world. And disconnect your TV. Hide the remote control if you got to. Do whatever you need. Disconnect from social media. And most of all, this, the cell phone. This thing, I went somewhere the other day, pulled out the driveway, got halfway where I was going. Oops, I left my phone. Do you know what I did? I turned around and went all the way back home. And I wasn't a couple of blocks away either. I went back home, because you feel lost without that cell phone. And then my excuse was, oh, I might get a phone call. Well, if you get a phone call, they'll leave a message. So we have to learn to be intentional about what we do, intentional in our praise and worship, intentional in our Bible study, Bible reading, intentional. Do it intentionally, because sometimes you don't feel like it. I was so tired the other day I came home. I laid down. It was like 3 o'clock. I woke up. It was 9 o'clock. I had intentions on. This was Tuesday. I was going to study for Bible talk. But I didn't wake up till 9 o'clock. Then Wednesday, I came home and I got to doing something else. And before I knew it was time for Bible talk, and I had not prepared. I had not prepared. But we have to be intentional, be committed, and stay connected. Stay connected. We should stay connected to one another, because we are here not just to serve one another, but to encourage one another. We all need encouragement. You may not know what's going on with me, but a smile from your face could brighten up my day. Just a hello could brighten up somebody's day. You never know. I was in the grocery store the other day, and there was an elderly, older lady than me. And she was walking around, and she looked like she was lost. So I went up to her. I said, excuse me, ma'am. Can I help you? Are you looking for something? She said, well, I was looking for my son. I say, well, what's his name? We can go to the front and have them, you know, call him on the intercom. She say, well, he lives in Texas. I say, well, ma'am, I don't think they're going to call him in Texas. I say, but would you like to me to help you with something else? And she said, well, baby, can you tell me where the eggs are? I said, come on, ma'am, I'll walk you on over there. I walked over there. And that may seem like something small to somebody, but that could have been the biggest thing of her day, for somebody to take the time, just take the time to connect with a person. You can look at a person and you may not know what's going on, but you know something's going on. And just go there and say, I'm here if you need me. And that in itself can brighten up their entire day. Be intentional about spending time with God in His Word through prayer, meditation, through Bible study, and fellowship. A lot of people after COVID, they use COVID as an excuse, I believe. I say that. And if I'm wrong, God, you correct me, as an excuse for not going to the church. I go to church on TV. I go to church online. That's well and good. But you're not fellowshipping with anyone. You don't have that fellowship, that connection, that communication. And we all need communication one with the other, because you just never know what you might say or what somebody could say to you that will encourage you along the way. Be committed to God by making Him a daily daily priority. When you get up in the morning, before your feet hit the floor, thank God. If you don't do nothing but say, thank you, Lord, for seeing me through the night. Thank you, Lord, that I'm still breathing. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to move and have my being. Because of you, I move and have my being. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Stay connected through prayer, through study, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think the Holy Spirit is out on unemployment because we forget to utilize him. The Holy Spirit is here to lead, guide, and direct us. But what do? We make decisions on our own. We don't consult God. We don't consult the Holy Spirit. We go, and then when we make a mistake, what do we say? Oh, Lord, now you want to acknowledge me, huh? So, you know, it's just, Pastor Forney, like I said, he presented us with the challenge to pray, not only pray, but to read a passage of scripture 3 times a day. So who here has not joined the challenge? It's not too late. You can still join. You can still join the challenge. So be intentional, set your mind to it, and just, as Michael Jordan used to say, just do it. Just do it. And no, it's not that easy. Sometimes you're not going to do it, but don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. So in closing, I always remember these words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. You know, sometimes we go to work. I was guilty of it. Go to work and I half do my job. I'm on the clock, so I'm going to get paid. So I half do my job. But when this scripture was brought to my attention, I said, I've been cheating God because I'm doing it as not doing it as unto him. Be intentional. Be deliberate. Do things on purpose. Put your heart and soul into every action you do, though you are doing it to the Lord himself and not merely to others. That's from the Passion Bible. We were so blessed on yesterday. Ooh, we had such a blessed time. For those of you who were not there, it just makes me think about, I look at my sister Chaplain Brown. We are blessed by her and her passion for missionary work. We may not be going to Africa, but she's going and she's going to bring that spirit with her. So she pours so much effort, so much time, and so much prayer into that ministry. Intentionally. It was a lot. She had to be on a conference line. She had to go to a meeting. She had to get a certain amount of money. She got a pack. But she does it, and she does it with a smile. Look at the smile. She does it with a smile. And she does it intentionally. And writing doesn't just come naturally to Minister Turner. She invests her time and effort. Her intentionality makes her writing very encouraging and impactful. I don't know whether you guys know it or have seen it. Sister Turner, Sister Juanita Bedford, and Sister Charles, we're all sisters, not just in Christ, but we're sisters. I'm the oldest sister. That's the big sister. And Sister Juanita is the middle sister. And Sister Charzetta is the baby sister. She's the one that always keeps up trouble. You know, she always keeps up trouble. But Sister Turner, Minister Turner, I'm sorry, we inspire one another throughout the day. And sometimes I'll be like, I done missed. Maybe like, Sister Diane, where is she at? Because I'll be the last one to read stuff. But she sends encouraging scriptures, writings to us throughout the day. And that is such a blessing. She is very creative. She is very, I don't know if you guys know it. She has a book out. If you want to get it, you can go to Amazon. I'm plugging for you, Sister Diane. And then I'm not going to forget my sister Shay. Where is Shay? Shay's in the back, okay. But Sister Shay, she pours so much love and intentionality in her dancing. Not only is she deeply passionate about it, but her timing is always flawless. It reflects the time and effort that she dedicates to her craft. Sister Shay, when she dances, it is just so anointed. And that doesn't come just by, oh, I'm going to dance today. No, it takes time. It takes effort for her to practice. And then I ain't going to forget my pastor. Pastor Forney. Pastor Forney, he's a teaching and a preaching pastor. He truly teaches his people. And his preaching is consistently passionate incredibly timely and delivered with so much effort and intentionality. He studies. He's always got a computer or something in his hand. And then when we get on Bible talk, I got to tell you about yourself, Pastor. When we get on Bible talk, we've been studied and studied and studied, and we think we got it down pat. Then he'll come with a question all the way out from left field somewhere. And we be like, he come out of left field. And I'm like, wow, I never would have thought of that. He does, but I love you, Pastor. I love you. I love your teaching. I just love my New Joy family. And then Anthony and Erica. Where's Anthony? Anthony was out there yesterday when we were over at the ESV, and we hooked up, dapped up in prayer. And Anthony, I did not know you could pray like that, brother. Anthony, he did. He was not shy, which he ain't never been shy. That ain't his thing. But he approached the people. He prayed for the people. He made them feel welcome. And Anthony and Erica will fill in wherever they're needed. And they do it with such grace, with such grace. They truly do. And I don't mean to slight anybody else, because there's all of my New Joy family. We step in when needed. We're there when it's needed. And I can remember the times when, you know, we've all gone through some things. And Pastor was there. Sister Manita was there. And we are truly a family. And I really appreciate that, because I don't have much family here. My family's back in Illinois, but I don't feel the loss, because I've got family here. So whatever we do, when we do it with intention to bring glory, honor, and praise to God, because that's what it's all about, is Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. So whenever there's an opportunity, when there's an opportunity to serve, get out your comfort zone and come join us. Come join us, because it's fun. It really is. It's fun, and it helps somebody else. And when you're helping someone else, you're not only helping them, you're helping you. You are helping you, because you could have been in a slump that day. But when you go out and you hear, when you hear the things that other people are going through, people are contemplating suicide. People are desperate today. We are living in perilous times. But God. We're not going to focus on that, but we're going to focus on the glory of God, the presence of God. We're going to focus on the power of God. When they sang that song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shammah, He's all that we need and more. He will give you what you need when you need it. All you got to do is listen. I remember when I was teaching pre-K, the kids would line up for recess, and they all over the place. These are 4 and 5 year olds, all over the place. I'd say, eyes forward, ears listening, bubble in your mouth. And they would stand, they'd jump all over. I'd say, eyes forward. So let us keep our eyes on the prize, people. Let us keep our eyes. Look to the hills from whence cometh our help, because all of our help comes from God. All of our help. Whatever you need, He's got it. Whatever you need, He has it. If you need peace, He said, I'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. If you need joy, He says, I am the joy of your strength. He said, if you need finances, He will give it to you. He will. He will. If you need a job, He'll open up a door. If you need a friend, He's a friend to the friendless. If you need a mother, He'll be a mother to you. He is all that you need. God is everything. And don't forget that He loves you. Some people out here are desperate. They are desperate. They don't know which way to turn. So let us be the light that shines, that they can see Jesus and come to know Him as their personal Savior. Let us be that light. Let us be there. Let us follow Jesus, and we'll follow Pastor Jesus leads Pastor. We are to follow our shepherd. And we are one family bound together by love. By love. Yes, I just want to thank you, everybody, all my sisters and brothers in Christ, for being here today. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you got something out of the message, because it was a message that we can all use. It's a message that should touch your heart, because God, I ask all the time that God gives me the heart and mind of Christ, that I can see people as he sees me, with grace, with mercy, because we don't know what that person is going through. And there's so many people going through hard times. And like I said, we met someone the other day that was contemplating suicide. And so we just thank God. Thank God that we have our right minds, because we could, that could be us. There's a song they used to sing, "It Could Have Been Me." Outdoors, with no clothes, no food, it could have been me. We're just one paycheck away from being me. So just be blessed and know that God loves you, that we are here for you if you need us.